And welcome to episode 35 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Robin, Andy, and Elizabeth. It seems all travel is designed for couples, families, or groups, but there are many of us who want to travel alone for a variety of reasons, and believe it or not, many people do travel alone. Travel is a perfect way to find yourself while exploring the world around you. So let's talk about some hurdles to solo travel and how to overcome them. I have done more than my fair share of solo travel. It seems to be 99% of my trips. I'm going on my own. And the number one thing that people always ask is, don't you get lonely? Don't you miss your family? So have any of you had any solo travel experiences? Felt like you were missing out because you weren't in a group?
Well, I certainly have, and usually if I'm traveling solo, there's either a very specific purpose for it. You know, there's something I really want to see or really want to do or an event that I'm going to. It may not be the whole of my trip, but it's a good part of it. So I always have some sort of goal in mind, and I'm often running away from my family. So no, I don't really miss them. I mean, I love them very much, but every now and then, you know, it's good to just go somewhere
else. Escape tourism.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Escape from...
Well, I found that I don't get lonely because I'm a people person. I can go anywhere and make a friend. And for me, it's more about if I'm by myself, I think I can soak up whatever experience it is I'm having a little bit better than when I'm dividing my attention between my companions and my destination. So, so I don't get lonely. I mean, sometimes I'll miss my husband and have to call him, but it's never enough to make me stay home.
So technology is for. That's right.
Yeah, I've done my share of traveling on my own. I'm a people person as well, so I consider myself that way. Sometimes my own company does kind of get the better of me, but, you know, I've always been able to find people to hang around with. Ones are sounding like a bit of a low life. I find the best place to meet people, particularly in a city, is to go find a bar or a restaurant, and you can always find somebody there that is interesting and can often give you some local insight into what's happening and what there is to see and do if you don't really have anything in mind. Traveling on your own, I mean, as you say, you can really sort of focus on what you really want to see and get out of the occasion and really sort of center your trip around that.
And another way, if you're worried about being lonely, to kind of beat that lonely feeling is to join up with a group or a tour and kind of get yourself involved with a group of people. I've met some lifelong friends, traveling solo and hooking up on a tour. It's just a nice way to get to experience the world on your own, and yet you're not really alone. So it's kind of,
The solo travel market is huge. Part of travel right now. I mean, I know we've all sold trips recently to solo travelers, for a variety of reasons. I find that the cruises are very, very popular for solo travelers. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the loneliness factor is part of it. It's going to be much harder to be lonely on a cruise ship because it's very easy to sit down in a bar or lounge or at a pool chair or wherever and strike up a conversation. Yeah. And actually on some of the older cruise lines or the more classic cruise lines, you'll have assigned dinner with other people. So, I actually met a very good friend. He lives in London. We met him on a Disney cruise. He was traveling solo, and he was assigned to our table. It was a table for six, and there was us, another couple. This was before we had kids, and then him and he was supposed to be with his uncle, but his uncle had fallen ill, but he came anyway. And, we've become fast friends. We're still in contact, my husband and myself and he are. So, you could definitely meet people. And he had a blast because there's all sorts of organized activities that he can take part in. He can go to trivia. I think Sandy mentioned on one of the previous podcasts that she did the Frozen trivia on a cruise ship, and she played. Didn't you play by yourself too, Andy?
Yeah, I played trivia on my own.
Yeah. And you weren't even on a solo trip. Yeah.
I've got the vessel on the trestle upstairs to prove it.
And you weren't even on a solo trip, right? You just went down and did that by yourself.
Yeah, I just went down and did it on my own. But I ran into several people who were traveling on their own and having a great time. And, you know, I've had clients who've come back from solo trips and solo cruises and just say it's the best way to go. So you can meet all sorts of people, and, you know, if you find out that you think they're interesting, maybe not a couple of days later, the ship's big enough that you don't actually have to run into them every second of the day. So.
With the cruise, there's so much to do, but you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. You have that choice. Yeah. You do lots of things, or you can do nothing, and it's not like you have to talk to somebody else and say, well, what do you want to do? You just go and do what you want to do. Mm-hmm.
And that's another big perk of my solo trips. I find that when I'm by myself, things just flow so much easier. That to sound completely selfish, but if you want to do something, you just go do it. You can change your plans at the last minute. You're not constantly, I'm a worrier. I want to people please, and I want everybody with me to be happy. And you're not constantly worried about, oh, well, so-and-so really wants to do this, and so-and-so wants to do this, and they're at opposite ends. And you kind of have that freedom. And I like the controlled environment of the cruise ship. So you can do everything or you can do absolutely nothing, and it's perfectly fine. You don't have to worry about how you're getting from point A to point B because you're on a ship and you're already there.
Right.
So,
and then when you join up with shore excursions or what have you, you're always going to be put into a group. So you're going to immediately be put in with other people. I think one of the biggest drawbacks to solo travel is cost, because a lot of times, especially on a cruise ship, a lot of cruise ships will charge you double. You know, they are expecting to sell that cabin to two people. And so if you want to take up a cabin for two, as one person, you have to pay for both people. So that you pay both cruise fares. You don't pay taxes.
Tours are the same way. Mm-hmm. You have a single room supplement.
Yep. And so
it's the bane of people's lives.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of tour companies, at least the solo supplement isn't twice what, you know, usually it's like maybe one and a half times is what you're going to pay.
But it's still significantly more than what you pay per person if you're traveling with a friend or a significant other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then there are cruise lines that are now catering to the solo traveler. There are singles cruises, and I wouldn't shy away from those as a solo traveler just because you feel like they might be a meat market. Because although, you know, there are people who go on those cruises to meet other people for relationships, shall we say, then there's also people who are going because they just want to be around other people. You know, they want low pressure. And a Norwegian is one that's really embraced this market, where they have studios on their newest ships, the Getaway, the Breakaway, the Epic, and then they will be on the Escape as well. And it's actually a whole section of inside cabins, and they're very small. They're like a New York studio apartment. You know, everything's one room, very open floor plan. And the bed is pretty much up against the wall on either side. It's a double bed. Two people can stand there, but it's not very comfortable for any length of time. And then they're all sort of in a keyed off section. So your key card will allow you access to the hallways and everything where these solo cabins are. And there's a lounge there for them and for the solo travelers. And they attract all kinds of solo travelers. They attract singles. They attract people who are just traveling without their family, and they attract widows, widowers, like all ages, all kinds of people traveling for all kinds of reasons. And they have their own lounge, their own bar. So you can sit in the bar and you know you're going to meet other people who are there on their own. But it's very low pressure. It's not a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of bar. It's definitely a, you know, sort of more laid back, just get together. They have a whiteboard where they write up, like, if you want somebody to join you for, Norwegian has freestyle dining. If you want somebody to join you for dinner, like, I have a reservation at this specialty restaurant tonight for four, who wants to join me? And people can just sort of sign up to join them. It's sort of that very, you know, or I'm going to go up and play bridge in the, you know, in this turn, who wants to, you know, be my partner or whatever. You can put that up there. And then there are some organized activities. There is a staff member assigned to sort of connect with the single travelers on the solo travelers, on that ship, on that cruise. And they will organize, say, maybe a section of the comedy club will be reserved for solo travelers. So, you know, that sort of thing, they'll do two or three things like that in a 7-night cruise.
So another cruise line that I recently read about with, you know, and they actually feature cabins priced for one, there is no solo supplement with them. So another option might be a smaller cruise line. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I found caused me to become such a solo traveler is the timing of trips. I find myself going when I can go and not necessarily when my husband can go or when my friends can go on certain vacations. And that's actually kind of a plus for people when they're traveling by themselves. You don't have to try and, I can only get X amount of days off of work, but my friend can get 2 weeks. You don't have to match up your schedule.
You could also go last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last. And I've done that many, many times.
Yeah, that's where you often take advantage of the best deals if you wait until the last minute. Or, you know, you can travel when the prices are typically lower in the off-season. That's often what I do when I'm going to visit family. I can go on my own, fly back to England, but I'll go in the off-season when the plane tickets are a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and also buying air is so much easier when it's just for one person. It's more convenient. I've been able to find connecting flights with overnights in places that I might probably wouldn't have been able to get my husband to agree to spend a night in to get cheaper airfare.
We actually ran into somebody who was traveling in Germany when I was in Germany last year. He was traveling by himself, and we had done a guided tour that took us out to Dachau, and he was on that tour. And I asked him how he liked the solo travel. He was like, you know, I'm at the end of my trip. He'd actually been on a pretty long trip. I want to say it was like 14 days. And he was in like day 13 or so. I think he was leaving the next day or maybe the day after. And he said, I'm about done, but I haven't been lonely because I've done some things sort of on my own, but then I've also done a lot of these sort of little sightseeing tours or whatever, where I join up with a group for a very short period of time. So he's not, you know, traveling with a group. So he still has all the freedom that you were talking about before, where he can just sort of do what he wants and see what he wants. But he's meeting new people along the way, and it was sort of keeping that, you know, human contact. You know, I don't know if he made any fast friends on that trip. We didn't really talk about that, but he certainly met a lot of people. So
that's about my limit, too, is about 2-3 weeks. The longest one I ever did by myself, I think it was almost a month, and it was just way too long. I was gone for way too long by myself. But I like that fluidity of I can be social when I want to be and meet up with these people and then go off and do my own thing.
Well, that's definitely the appeal of it. From a tour guide's perspective, or escorted tour perspective, we used to get quite a few single travelers, solo travelers. And it was interesting to see from whereabouts in the world they came from. You'd often get British or Americans would come over and they'd just do one tour and then they fly home, be it because of lack of vacation time or proximity. And we're talking about tours in Europe here. But you look at Australians who are traveling halfway around the world, and we had some solo Aussies, great people. Aussies are typically very outgoing people anyway, very friendly. So they make their friends on the tours, but they come for 3 months at a time because it's so far. But yet we still have, I saw quite a few who were traveling on their own, young people, middle-aged people, older people. They just make the most of it. They wanted to see certain things, but they knew that by taking an escorted tour, that they would be within the confines of the group and they'd be able to experience that, but still be able to have free time on their own. So, as you say, Lindsay, getting the best of both worlds.
I remember when I was in my 20s, I wanted to travel by myself, and my parents freaked out. Oh, my God, a young woman by herself. And I look back now, and I wish I had done it. But then it was just, now you have so much things to tether you to people. You have all your devices. So if I was in my 20s now and I was going, I could call my family a lot more and a lot easier than I could have been. Mm-hmm. So I think now it is a little bit easier, especially for parents.
Yeah.
If a young person is going and traveling on their own.
I found for safety, I mean, my first big out of the country solo trip was to Ireland. And I never once, I mean, this was before cell phones. This is before all that. I never once felt like, oh, geez, if something happens, I felt safe the whole time because I was in that security blanket of youth,
yes.
I guess.
It'll never happen to me. But
wonderful people. I had a fabulous time. But I feel like now going back as an older adult, taking my husband, I'm so glad I got to experience by myself. Because I really did absorb and just sit and read. And I wrote so much on that trip that I wouldn't have done if I had been with a companion, I think, with a constant companion. It's very different. There are a couple places is there any place that you wouldn't advise solo travel?
I wouldn't go to an all inclusive that's designed for couples, because I think you'll just feel really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, Sandals is like that, and I've many of us have been to Sandals solos for travel agent touring, and it's just very awkward. You know, all the chairs are arranged in pairs, and you know, it's like everything is very much designed for two people, and so as a solo traveler, it would be, I think, a little awkward.
If I were traveling solo, there would be one for me, one for my bag.
Yes. I'm not saying it was miserable.
Kind of the opposite feeling here. Like, in all the Sandals fams that I've done by myself, you end up making friends with other travel agents, but even if I was there completely on my own, I think I would have been okay with it, because I did spend quite a bit of time out on the beach, but I'm so used to being by myself when I travel. I think it's a different mindset probably than going there. I think I'd be fine there by myself.
Well, I think like every time I went to dinner, they were like, just one. And you know, they'd always look at you kind of, because that's not how the resort's designed. Again, I had a wonderful time. I'm not saying that it was, you know, but that would be, I would say if I had to say, you might not want to do this, because there's lots of all inclusives to choose from. Some of them are adult only that, are friendly for, you know, for couples or for solo travelers. And of course, there's some that are alternative lifestyle that are really friendly for solo travelers, but they're so friendly.
But, Grand Pineapple, they have solo travelers that come back year after year after years. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a guy, I think his name's Bob, who has his own seat at the bar.
Because he's made friends with all the people who work there. And that's the thing too. If you have a regular place that you want to go, if you're somebody, you know, like you could go to Key West by yourself. You know, there's definitely places you could go where you would have a great time, because there's always people out looking for a good time, looking to meet other people. So
I think with any vacation, it always comes down to what you want out of your trip. If you are not a person who is comfortable being by yourself and doing things when you're at home and you're not, you know, you're not the kind of person to go to the movie by yourself or to go do things by yourself, then solo travel might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but it can be a lot of fun. It can be very freeing. I think a very freeing and liberating experience.
I think everyone should travel. And if the only reason you're not traveling is because you don't have anybody to go with, that's no excuse.
Yeah, that's not an excuse at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have this now, but I was a travel agent in the 90s, and I remember there was a few tour companies that would take solo travelers, but they would put them in a room with someone else. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they still do that, because I really haven't.
They still do offer that option. It's a way of getting around the single room supplement, but you don't know who your roommate is going to be.
Exactly.
I've run these sort of tours, and I've seen that happen, but then seen some really good friendships being made. And I've seen some people that weren't entirely happy, shall we say, with their joy. Because for whatever reason, if you've got two solo female travelers who haven't opted to pay that single room supplement and do end up in the same room, if there's a big generation gap or a big interest gap in interest, or they just can't get along, then it can make for a long, long trip. So you do have to consider that.
And I think there was a time where people would sort of gamble and say, okay, I'm going to say that I'm willing to take a roommate, but they weren't really wanting a roommate. They were just hoping that nobody else would sign on for it, and they would not have to pay the single supplement. So, you know, you don't want to take that gamble either. You need to be ready that, you know, you'll be assigned a roommate.
Because I remember the only questions they would really ask, sex and if you smoke or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really it.
Mm-hmm. And a singles cruise will do that. They'll match you up. If you're a solo traveler and you don't have anybody to go with at all, then you can request a roommate, and that they ask your gender, whether or not you're a smoker. And they do ask, well, they know your age because they need that for the roster.
Right.
And they said that they use that to try and match people up too. So they're, you know, they try to put people who are similar age together. And they have pretty high success with it. It's interesting. They don't ask sexual orientation. They only ask your gender. So yeah, it seems to be a pretty successful program. And I think keeping it simple kind of works, because if you were to do like a match.com kind of thing, it, you know.
So that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlander.com, then click on podcasts at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com, or send us a carrier pigeon, whatever works best for you. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Robin, Andy, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly!